Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, the man Fortune Small Business Magazine called one of America's most influential small business experts.
Pinch me, lovey, so I know it isn't a dream, but not too hard. I bruise easily.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. It's just you and me. And I want to talk, as you know, every week I take a couple of segments and talk about things that are on my mind. And this is one of those times I'm going to take this segment. So right now I want to talk to you about what I think are the best of times and the worst of times. Here's a quote. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. End quote. In that preamble of A Tale of Two Cities, the immortal Charles Dickens delivered an appraisal of the disruptive state of affairs in 18th century London and Paris during the Revolutionary War. Today, seeking perspective for the past 12 months that we've lived through, Dickens' perfectly paradoxical passage continues to serve us. Our heads nodding. I know your heads are nodding when you think about those words and what we've gone through the last 12 years. I know your head is like mine is nodding resolutely at Dickens' 19th century words as they overlay our 21st century reality. So what I want to do now is employ Dickens' literary device in pursuit of our own perspective on America's currently disruptive state of affairs. It was the best of times. When January 1, 2020 dawned, the U.S. economy was firing on all cylinders, with unemployment and employment setting records in both directions respectively. Unemployment record low, employment record high. On the first day of trading on Wall Street, January 4th, 2020, major indexes achieved new records, including the Dow climbing 800 points just that day on January 4th, 800 points. Interest rates promoted investment over savings. And inflation, that was just something older people remembered. And out here on Main Street, the NFIB's Index of Small Business Optimism was stringing together an unprecedented three consecutive years of record high sentiment by you, the heroes of Main Street, the heroes of the marketplace. And doing business was so much fun, senior owners were rethinking retirement. U.S. troop levels in Iraq and Afghanistan were at the lowest levels since those conflicts began, about 2,500 in each country. And the unprecedented Abraham Accords, forging peace agreements between Israel and three Islamic states, had all the markings of an impending positive domino effect. Halcyon. You've heard that word, halcyon. It means a peaceful and happy, if not idyllic, period. That's what we had. Then it was the worst of times. January 2020 began the reports hitting the wire of viral outbreak in China, but not yet a global concern. And then February brought evidence of a novel coronavirus spreading around the world. It brought an old term, pandemic, to be used to introduce a new term, COVID-19. On February 14, interviews on my radio show with several China experts. You heard them here over a year ago. Those experts caused me to write my Black Swan article. specifically encouraging Main Street, you, to gird your loins in anticipation of a global economic disruption caused by a deadly microorganism. On February 20th, 2020, that's recognized as the beginning of a global stock market crash, with the Dow Jones dropping over 1,000 points just that day, 800 points up January 4th, 1,000 points down February 20th. And that was 6 days, 6 days before the U.S. recorded its first COVID death. In the 2 weeks following the Ides of March 2020, more than 30 states acted on two or more new terms, lockdown and social distancing. These instructions were as unsettling as they were intuitive, right? We didn't like it and we understood them. But they were made constitutional only by our compliance. There's no constitutional ability for the government to lock us down or to cause us to social distance, but we complied anyway. Meanwhile, Congress passed the Bipartisan CARES Act, remember that, appropriating $2.2 trillion in aid for the still impending pandemic. It hadn't even started yet. And as President Trump signed the bill on March 27th, which included survival cash for millions of small businesses, at that point, barely 100 souls had been lost to the invisible invader. It was the age of wisdom. The definition of wisdom is the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. In the spring of 2020, politicians, business leaders, and citizens alike, seeking wisdom in the face of a 100-year plague, recognized we were in uncharted territory for any living person. Bold and often extreme actions were proposed and taken based on a paradoxical premise, the only thing more perilous than doing too much was doing too little. That was the paradox. And both of those quantities were unknown. It was the age of foolishness. As the progressing pandemic took its toll, wisdom succumbed to base politics and poor behavior as assistance from Washington, once bipartisan and urgent, shrank into political smallness. Meanwhile, as governors and mayors were rightly exposed as elitist hypocrites for flaunting their own oppressive orders. Remember that? The governor of California, the mayor of Chicago, the governor of New Jersey, the governor of Illinois, and others. They flaunted their own oppressive orders. As they were doing that, the liberties of Americans continued to take the hindmost. It was the epoch of belief. When the lockdowns began, another new and hopeful term, flatten the curve, was coined based on the belief that our consensual social restraint would be rewarded in weeks. Remember that? We thought, well, we'll flatten the curve. This thing will be done in a few weeks, and we'll be back to regular. In dutifully complying with lockdown orders, small businesses believed we were doing this for the greater good. We were closing up our businesses for the greater good, and yet at our own expense. It was the epoch of incredulity. The summer heat proved ineffective against a determined coronavirus as lockdown weeks turned into months. We thought the summer might treat it like the coronavirus like the flu, but no. Infected relatives died alone in hospitals and were buried administratively. In the face of little to no revenue, fixed expenses piled up and innumerable small businesses collapsed after PPP funds washed through their accounts, still locked down. Meanwhile, many big boxes and all of big tech thrived. If you remember nothing else about this epoch, remember this. When a small business collapses, a family collapses, often more than one. It was the season of light. All stops were pulled to develop and deliver COVID-19 vaccines in months, not years. Even though no one knew when we would be allowed a syringe of life-saving vaccine, we allowed ourselves to imagine a light at the end of our pandemic tunnel. Forecasting plans for life and living were couched in anticipation of the fulfillment of another unfamiliar term. This one is hopeful as it was crude. Herd immunity. In the season of darkness, as fall gave way to the winter of 2020, experts began recording the mental and emotional toll seemingly endless lockdowns were taking on Americans of all ages, but especially school children. As digital natives, all but the least of these took well to virtual learning platforms, but it soon became clear that there is no digital synthetic for the sociological nutrient children derive from analog face-to-face connection. There's no digital synthetic for face-to-face. It's too soon for national statistics, but regional reports indicate a pandemic-related spike in youth mental and emotional distress, including tragic extreme behavior. It was the winter of despair. With millions of Americans in some degree of lockdown, January 2021 ended two consecutive months of recording pandemic-related deaths. And on the anniversary of the first reported U.S. COVID-19 death, the national number of victims crossed over a 500,000 mark. It was the spring of hope. The return of daylight savings time on March 14, 2021 closed the circle on our pandemic year. The physical warmth and emotional therapy of more waking sunlight coincided with new hope based on precipitous drops in positive testing, hospitalizations, and deaths. And as the vernal equinox gives way to spring, the U.S. will have administered 120 million doses of life-saving COVID-19 vaccines, now on a daily pace of 2 million. The human experience is pregnant with paradoxes. Indeed, it's in our nature to be both paradoxical and to create them. Passing over the rear horizon, our paradoxical pandemic will leave us with the hope of this truth. Up to now, humans have more or less survived both our inherent and our invented paradoxes. And we will again, in the belief of what Dickens said, from the death of each day's hope, another hope sprung up to live tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.